I remember a story of a pastor and his wife. They were getting up one Sunday morning, and she said, "Hey, let's do something different today. How about you be charming at home and grumpy at the church?" Yeah, I know. And I've said it before, and sometimes I wake up grumpy, but other times I let her sleep. But that, no, not you. No. No, actually, all of us, we wear masks, don't we? As believers, many of us have learned how to behave in such a way that people really don't see what's taking place within us. We can con our coworkers, we can fool our friends and our family, we can play charades with church members and even deceive ourselves, but we can't masquerade before the Lord because He sees right through all of our masks. He sees the purity of our lives and the purity that is in our hearts. I took a group of kids to SeaWorld one time. It was great. Loaded up the church van. We were going to go to SeaWorld. We had to leave the church and go right by this really great truck stop right on I-4. And I went in to pay for the gas, and because that's how you did it back then. And right there next to the cash register, there was a big box full of delicious sausage biscuits. And I had skipped breakfast, and they smelled so good. So I grabbed one and a carton of milk out of the cooler and paid for it, went out into the van, started it up, and I took a bite of that sausage, and it was so, even now my mouth is watering. We need to quit and just go get some sausage now. There's sausage biscuits. And then I reached over and I grabbed the milk and I took a big chug of it, and it was like, oh my God, something's wrong. The milk was sour. All right, but I'm driving with a bunch of kids in the back. Now, I hadn't left the parking lot, thank goodness, slammed on the brakes, opened the door, and spit it out. I mean, it was so gross, almost as gross as the kids said, watching me spit it out. You know, you get it, yeah. But, see, the problem was the milk was not pure. It was spoiled. You see, purity in the biblical sense means clean, not contaminated, unmixed. In today's Bible verse, Jesus says, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. In Bible times, people thought that the heart was the very core of a person. What you thought, how you felt, your emotions, impulses, passions, they all flowed out of your heart from the very core of your being. If you wanted to know what a person was truly like, you look on the inside. Look at the kinds of things that flowed out of their heart. When God looks at you, He really doesn't pay much attention at all to your outward appearance. And I know a lot of us work hard on what we look like, well, out here. For some of us, it works. Well, for others, not so well. I mean, I like what Abraham Lincoln said, "If I were two-faced, would I be wearing this one?" No, God really doesn't care what looks like on the outside because He's so busy looking at what's on the inside, what's going on in your heart. Jesus got all worked up over some of the people of His day because they spent an awful lot of time on their outsides, looking good, wearing the right clothes, having long prayer beads dangling down to their knees, their hair all fixed up nice, all washed up, teeth nice and clean. They loved to stand in the prominent places on the street in the community to pray out loud so everyone could hear them. It was a great show. That's all that it was, just a show. Jesus saw through all the petty and the prettiness and the pretense to what was in their hearts, and He said, using the words of Isaiah, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Now, by the way, Jesus was talking to church people and about church people. Jesus said on another occasion that these folks were like whitewashed tombs, all pretty and clean and white on the outside, but on the inside, they were rotting corpses. They carefully kept all of the law, including the meticulous washing of the hands before anything went into their mouths. But what came out of their mouths was slander and hatred and vulgarity and abuse towards those who weren't so clean or so religious or like them. Jesus said, "Evil words come from an evil heart and defile the person who says them. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you." What chafed Jesus more than anything was their dishonesty with themselves and with God. According to Jesus, purity of heart isn't believing the right things. It isn't going through the right motions. It's doing the right thing with the right motives, with the right heart. Think about it. If we praise God with our lips and lift our prayers in worship on Sunday morning and act as though we never met Him on Monday, well, we're just like all the hypocrites Jesus confronted. And our praise here is in vain. If we act all spiritual in here in front of each other, but are devious and dishonest when nobody's looking at us out there, then we're hypocrites. And our spiritual actions are in vain. If we teach honesty and integrity to our children and then rip off the cable company because they somehow forgot to turn it off when we canceled it, we're hypocrites. And our teaching is in vain. If we caution our youth about sexual impurity and then we sit online in front of porn sites, then we are hypocrites and ourselves are impure. Purity of heart isn't believing the right things. It is going through the right motions. It's doing the right thing with the right motives, with the right heart. It's asking yourself before you do something, what would God think of this? Is there consistency between what I say I believe and how I actually act? Purity isn't the absence of corruption in your life. It's also the fullness of God's Spirit in you. If you were able to rid yourself of impurity in your life, and I seriously doubt that any of us can do that on our own, but if you could, without allowing God then to fill you and to occupy that void, you would become nothing more than a religious do-gooder, like the hypocrites of Jesus' day. Purity of heart isn't just the absence of certain things in your life, it's the very presence of God in you. It begins with the shedding of all pretense and absolute inner awareness of who you really are. Anyone that I know who's ever become a conqueror over addiction or compulsions or bad attitudes or anger or abusiveness or fear, anxiety, you name it, began with a journey towards healing with the recognition that they couldn't do it alone, that they were helpless. Shedding any pretense, any sense that they had it together, they come to an awareness of who they really were and turn themselves over to God. Remember our first two Beatitudes? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And the second one, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The process of purity begins when I understand fully who I really am. That I am a sinner in need of God's grace and forgiveness, a soul that needs to be released by God's love, a life that needs to be cleansed by God's eyes to be, in God's eyes, to be filled with the very presence of God. St. Augustine put it this way, before God can deliver us from ourselves, we must undeceive ourselves. Jesus tells about two men who go into church. One is a minister, the other a dishonest IRS agent. The minister stood in the open under the light where God could see it plainly, and he prayed out loud, God, I thank you that I'm not a sinner like everyone else that I know, especially that IRS agent over there. All my actions are good. I never do anything wrong. I'm in church every Sunday. Yeah, I give a tenth of everything that I make to God's work. I am truly a religious man. Over in the corner, toward the back of the room, a trembling voice pierces the shadows. God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, this man, not the other one, goes home pure in heart. Why? Because he wasn't a phony like the other guy. He was real before God, and God could do something with a life like that. It's not what's on the outside of you that matters to God, but what's on the inside, what's in the heart. Because what's in the inside of you can't help but work its way to the outside of you sooner or later. What we need is not more religion. What we need is for Jesus Himself to enter our lives and to fill us with Himself and to reformat our heart drives. The last part of the Beatitude contains a promise. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. God reserves this wonderful, intimate fellowship with Himself for those who are unmixed in their devotion, unmasked in their relationship with Him. The nearer we approach to purity of heart, the closer we can get to God. In our heart of hearts, above all things, we want to see God. Ecclesiastes says that God has put eternity in the human heart. And Augustine said that our hearts are restless until they find rest in God. Paul Thigpen writes, "Unfortunately, sin has blinded us, leaving our spiritual eyes swollen shut. Unable to see God, we grope in the darkness, searching desperately for someone or something to make us happy. Our heart is splintered and scattered, and we run to and fro, gathering first this trinket and that trinket, dropping both for the next shiny thing we see. The result is a civil war of the heart. All the while, our Father stands close by, waiting for us to turn around, to run into His arms. If our vision of God is to grow wider and clearer and brighter, our will must be united in a single focus on Him and an overriding desire to know and to love Him." My friends, are you ready to see God like you've never seen Him before? Is your desire to know Him as intense as David's was when he wrote in Psalm 119, "I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise"? If so, then it's time to turn loose of anything that is keeping you from that. Many years ago, you don't know all the jobs. I should tell you little bits and sermons, but I worked for UPS. The first thing you do at UPS is you unload trucks, because anybody can do that. You just stand there and unload trucks. At 2 in the morning, I did this after a full day of school and then another job. And this, I would work until about 3 or 4 in the morning. And then get cleaned up, go to school. One of the things about that is as you're unloading trucks, you don't think that you're going to be doing that forever. You think that it's just going to be a little bit of time, and surely it was. And before long, you find any other things that you do. And I will tell you that from that moment to where I see myself standing in the pulpit of this great church, and I've been here now for a couple of years. I've preached about 100 sermons or so. I think we've added them up, and it's something like that. I have some idea of where we are in the life of our ministry. But what is the difference between then and now simply is this: God connects those things. From what I once was to where I am now, by the grace of God, I will be in the future something different. Now, is that a journey that you've been on, that you can connect God through your life that way? Is that what it has been? What connects you to what you were and what you are? Has God done that? Has God connected that back there with all that God has ahead for you? I read about a couple from Bakersfield, California. They just purchased a new boat. It was a beautiful boat, but they were having some serious problems. It was in the water when they bought it. It was there, and they gassed it up, and they tried to go across the lake. And no matter what they did, the engine was running fine. I don't know what's going on. But they just couldn't get it to go up on plane, couldn't get it to go anywhere. So they pulled that up into a marina, and they looked at the motor, and the motor was fine. Gas was good. Oil's good. Everything's fine. What is the problem with this new boat? So one of the guys that works there decided to put on a mask and some flippers, and he jumped over the side, and he came up, and he was spit out the snorkel because he was laughing so hard. He'd figured out what the problem was. The boat was still strapped securely to the trailer. Yeah, Bakersfield, California. Look it up. When God looks underneath of your life, what does He see? When He looks behind your mask, what does He discover? Is your heart undivided, or are you strapped to some sin that is slowly pulling you down? Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Let us pray. Our Father, we are all in some way strapped to a trailer. We think that we should be going better, doing better, something different, and yet we find that sometimes we are the problem, and that our divided allegiances, our own hypocrisy in our own lives, you don't call us to be perfect. You don't call us to be pure on our own. We can't do that. You just are happy when we're honest. When we're honest with you and with ourselves and with the struggle that it is to live. And then you take that and you help us to become purely devoted to that which you call us to be. Help us with that. And in this time of communion, we ask you to feed our souls in such a powerful way that when we leave this place, we are full. Full up in the heart with your presence and your grace and your power and your love. And then share that with the world. that is desperate for it, who does not have the benefit of this meal. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.